You are listening to a special edition of Security Wire Weekly for October 28, 2010. The payment card industry finalizes PCI DSS 2.0. Thanks for joining us. I'm Rob Westerveld. The Payment Card Industry Security Standards Council issued version 2.0 of PCI DSS this week. The document contains 12 minor changes. It takes effect on January 1st, but merchants won't have to become fully compliant with the new version until December 31st of 2011. The release of PCI DSS 2.0 also begins a new three-year life cycle of the development of it, which means that for the next 3 years, there won't be any changes to the actual document. I had a chance to talk with Jeremy King, the European director of the PCISSC, to discuss some of the changes and also some of the guidance documents that are due out later this year. Here's what he had to say.
As we've been already mentioning previously, as we roll out and release version 2.0 of the PCI DSS standard, the PADSS standard, that's gonna move us into the new three-year life cycle. And the three-year life cycle has really been developed to give people more time, especially at this phase when we are introducing and rolling out the new standard. So the key advantages of this are going to be that the standard is going to be released at the end of this week, the 28th of October, and then everyone has until the 1st of January really to read and understand the new standard and see what the changes are and how it affects them before the standard becomes effective. And I think that's the sort of sunrise date is the 1st of January 2011. In terms of the old standard, that doesn't sunset until the 31st of December 2011. So one of the other great changes that we've introduced with the three-year life cycle, it gives everybody more time. So if you're in the process or already going through the process of 1.2, you've got time to finish off that process. You don't have to suddenly drop everything and start going immediately through the new version 2. You've got time to complete your process, get it sorted out, and then move across to the new version 2.0.
There really aren't any major changes, right? I mean, these are just minor changes that actually seems like they're giving merchants more options.
It's a global standard that's maturing nicely. And so we aren't having to make massive changes. I think as well it perhaps reflects that in some respects the attack techniques that the criminals are using also aren't changing significantly. We look at the attack techniques which criminals are using and they're still having an effect, and therefore having the requirements just updated to make things clearer for the merchants then helps them become better protected by understanding such things as, you know, what is their risk, you know, understanding what is the scope of their cardholder environment, you know, understanding where within their merchant environment are they accepting payment, are they just face-to-face merchants, are they e-commerce, do they do telephone order, etc. So having the merchants or giving the merchants more guidance so they can understand the scope of their risk means that they can better protect themselves and better understand how the requirements apply to them and how they can meet the requirements.
Let's talk about some specific changes. One is around encryption, and it looks like it's sort of a change to of understanding of how key management is actually working in the merchant environment, because merchants that are storing cardholder information at an offsite facility, now they won't have to make annual key changes, right? They just have to verify that the key changes are taking place if they're storing it outside of their facility.
I mean, over the time that I've been working in this industry, we've always had, or there's always been recommendations to change your keys every year, and everyone's always ignored it. And the reality is that for most people, it's quite a significant effort to change their keys. And therefore, it's one of these, if it ain't fixed, don't change it. And, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's the statement I was trying to get out correctly. Mm-hmm. And so what we're saying is now, instead of just saying, you must change the keys every year, what we're saying is, beware. You've got to take responsibility, and you've got to be aware and understand when are your key lengths and when are your key strengths becoming weak. And there's always plenty of information available on the web through articles such as the ones you write, which give people information about, which keys are now being considered weak. And then from that, they can take a more balanced approach to say, okay, we now need to update and improve our key strengths. So this is, this is a far more practical approach to security than perhaps what we've previously had. And I think it will be one which will be welcomed and adopted by merchants and those in the transaction process.
Mm-hmm. One of the things, though, that, some critics say is that for example, in that particular area, the key management and making those key changes, it refers to external guidelines or industry best practices, and it makes it kind of a little more ambiguous because a QSA can refer, and I think as an example within the standard, it refers to NIST as an example, but they can refer to other best practices as well. So it really is going to be left up to the QSA then, right?
Moment, what we're doing is we are within the council working a lot on all of the encryption process, and that's why we're working and developing an understanding and specific requirements. Then we have to look at what are the appropriate standards that exist, and NIST is one of those that. Even beyond the US, here in Europe, we do understand it, and we do recognize that does represent a good level of security guidance and practice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, within Europe region, there are other standards that are used and can be used. So therefore, we're not just going to tie people to one particular process when there's an equivalent elsewhere that can be easily used. So we want to try and ensure that we're appropriate to whichever market the standard's being used in, and if there are certain markets around the world that use relevant standards, then we'll allow the QSA to use that.
Another area that I thought was interesting, at least, was the ranking of the vulnerabilities. There was a slight change in, 6.2?
This is something new. And again, because it's new and because it's going to need some people to some time to understand and get used to it, exactly what it means when you're ranking and identifying the vulnerabilities.
Mm-hmm.
We're giving the merchants more time to be able to understand how it works for them, and then use it in an effective manner. So what we're saying is that when we launch the new version 2 standard, it is going to be a best practice process, and let give time for people to get used to it, and then we're not going to bring it in as an actual requirement that they do the ranking process until the 30th of June 2012. So really what we're doing, again, we work constantly with the participation organisations to get their feedback, and from that feedback, these are the sort of comments that we receive that people say, well, look, this is great, but, it's new to us, we've not used this before, we need to have some time to understand how it's going to work. And this is really, for me, an important step as we are moving forward forward with our work on the emerging technologies is that we're obtaining greater alignment between not only the PCI DSS and the PADSS, but also the PTS program, because as we move forward with certainly some of the work on the point-to-point encryption, we see everything coming together. All the three standards now become much more almost like one holistic approach to ensuring good security.
Mm-hmm.
So they're the four key areas that we've been looking at, and then we've just been supporting those with the changes that have been evolving.
How about these emerging technologies, virtualization, tokenization, point-to-point encryption, or end-to-end encryption?
If we start with the first one you said, then virtualization is something that we're now recognizing and reflecting within the 2.0 standard that, you know, some of the recent requirements can be applicable to a virtual environment. But I think it's also safe to say that there is a lot of new technology and new procedures, processes coming out of the virtualization world, and we're very fortunate that we have got a very active special interest group dedicated to virtualization, and they are providing us with a lot of updates. They're also tackling some of the more tricky subjects. I know they have started now to tackle cloud computing, which is new to me. It is a new area for myself. So the input that we're getting from our special interest group there is going to be very helpful in sort of how we address and how we then reflect these new techniques within our standards. In terms of tokenization, point-to-point encryption, these techniques really help support or are supported by the paper we also produced on EMV, and certainly from a European perspective, the paper we put out, the PCI DSS the applicability of PCI DSS in a EMV environment was an essential paper to explain to people, even within an EMV environment, where is data at risk and which data is in clear text and therefore needs to be protected. Understanding that in Europe enables people to understand why we are also needing the PCI DSS standard, and from that the benefits that point-to-point encryption can bring in protecting what we consider the critical cardholder data, especially the primary account number. And so at the moment, again, we've got great support from our special interest group on encryption, on EMV, that have been providing a lot of help to us. We've also got one running within the tokenization to try and help make sure that whatever we develop as requirements, they are applicable globally, and they represent good process and good practice globally. So they are going to be incorporated into the PCI DSS standard. They are going to be separate requirements when we develop them next year. But there is a lot of detail. There is a lot of technical detail, and we sort of talked around it a bit with the talking about key management, and key management in point-to-point encryption is a key area. So there's a lot of work to do there to be able to release the requirements and release the more work. So that's going to be a busy area for us going forward into the new year. There's a lot in Europe, so I'm assuming we're seeing it a lot. You'll see it a lot in the US. Is that even quite small merchants are now also setting themselves up to be able to sell in the e-commerce environment, and therefore they need to be able to understand what are the risks that brings with it for them. You know, how they, you know, they've got to work with their acquirer and then with the guidance that we're providing to ensure that they are protecting the cardholder data that they're taking for the transactions. So we've been improving a lot of the information and guidance available for small merchants.
Mm-hmm. Is that a trend? Do a lot of
For example, McDonald's is a very obviously a global organization, but they've made it so that each one of their franchises is its own small business as it relates to PCI. Are other large global companies doing the same thing, or is that just something that franchises are able to do?
I think it's something that the franchises are available to do. It does definitely vary. Some, you know, I'm sorry, but some do, some don't. You know, there are one or two others I'm aware of, but you know, it's part of how they've established their business.
I see.
So obviously, you know, it's still important, regardless of your size, that you're able to look after cardholder data, and that's what we're trying to do with the latest version of the standard.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Well, that does it for this edition of Security Wire Weekly. Be sure to check out our previous podcast by going to our podcast landing page at searchsecurity.com/podcast. And as always, you can get the latest security news and information at our news page at searchsecurity.com/news. For now, I'm Rob Westervelt. Have a great day.